Good morning.
Right.
About a minute, Phil. I'd like to welcome everyone here to River Ridge Church Christ Worship Service. We do have many visitors and you are due to our honored guests. We have a lot of, well, nobody really out like last week. We do have a few. Chuck and Debbie are out of town, obviously, for the gospel meeting. Mark Kaysen is out, and then Tim will be leading us this afternoon. So, we'll get those four in here. We're going to have to put some more back chairs in the back. It's a good thing. We appreciate everybody out this morning. Just a few announcements. I have no known sick at this point. So, if you let me know, we'll get that announced. That's a good thing. As far as that, it's great to see Brother Warren out and with the recovery at Piper as well. We appreciate that. Thank God for the prayer on their behalf. Wednesday night invitation would be Brother Keith and participating in this morning's worship service. Brother Dave will have the opening prayer. Brother Tim and Brother TJ will have the communion this morning. Brother Aaron will have the song service, and he has selected number 500. If you'd like to turn your hymn books to number 500. Visiting preacher, Brother Brett. Glad to have him back in the area to give us this morning's lesson. Brother Tony will have the closing prayer this evening. If there is any other announcements you let me know, we'll get them announced this afternoon.
O thou fount of every blessing. 500. Sing all three verses. Do also want to remember Kim's girls. The Gainer daughters are not feeling well today, so we want to remember them. 500. O thou fount of every blessing.
O thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While the home of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I constrain to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Beautiful song about God's grace. Before we're led in prayer, let's sing number 810. Jesus loves me. We have his example in the Word of God that tells us about his love. We'll sing all four verses.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear, children far away or near. They are safe within his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Our dear and most loving Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne of grace at this hour, we thankful, dear Father, for all the many wonderful blessings that you so lovingly bestow upon us each and every day. We're especially thankful, too, dear Father, for your Son, our Lord and Savior, who loved us so much. He was willing to come upon this earth and go through the suffering and pain that he went through on our behalf. And his death upon the cross of Calvary, dear Father, we remember him this day and the love that he had for us. We're so thankful for the privilege that we have of being a part of your family, for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Father, and the wonderful blessings that we receive from it, and to be able to uplift one another. We pray that our love for you and for one another will continue to grow each and every day as we serve thee and walk the straight and narrow way out here in this world of darkness. Dear Father, we pray that our lights will so shine that we will be a good example. In the things that we say and the things that we do, we might be an influence to lead those that are lost to you while there's still yet time. Prepare, dear Father, for those in our number that are sick, that you lay your healing hand upon them, and they might be able to be back with us next point in time. Be with those that are traveling, dear Father, and watch over Chuck and Debbie, and pray that they have a safe trip to and from their destination, and they might be with us at the next point in time. Pray, dear Father, for that you bless Brother Berger as he brings forth the lesson this day, and that we will keep our hearts and our minds attentive to the things that are brought out in your word, and we might gain something from it that will help strengthen us in our daily Christian lives, dear Father. We pray that all that we do and say in our service will go up as a sweet savor unto thee. And be with those too, dear Father, that are preaching and teaching the word this day, wherever they be. It'll always be brought forth in all spirit and in truth. It might lie in good and earnest hearts, and there might be some good fruit come forth from hearing your word this day. And forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
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 Be the song before partaking of the Lord's Supper. 621. There's no doubt that Christ could have called legions of angels to take him away from the cross. He had in his power and his authority to send 10,000 angels. But he didn't. Again, his grace. And that's what the first four verses then discuss and talk about, is the picture of what he did for us. And then the conclusion of the song, he did die alone. And he did that for you and me. We'll sing the song how it's written, and that we'll sing the verse and then the chorus. And we will sing all four verses.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They sat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you. Precious head, they place a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold the King. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. He could have called 10,000
You would turn with me in the book of Romans, chapter 6. You read verses 3 through 10. Here, Paul writing to the Roman brethren about Jesus' crucifixion. I mean, the song we just sang about helps us visualize what Jesus went through. Death, that he died for us. And now we see how our relationship is with Jesus through our baptism. So, beginning in verse 3 of chapter 6. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So he died once for all mankind. One death, one burial, one resurrection. And that's the one death that we celebrate this morning on every Lord's Day. So as we ready to protect the bread and the fruit of the vine, let's all think back on the time we were baptized and our sins were forgiven because of Jesus' death on the cross. And let's think back on that sacrifice this morning as we unite this morning in observance of this memorial. Would you bow with me? Father, and our God, we come before you now so thankful for the death that Jesus died on the cross. We ask that you'll bless this bread that's before us that helps us think of his body hung on the cross, bloody and beaten, and he gave his life for us, knowing that he could have called 10,000 angels, as we just sang about, that he did not. He went through with this, Father, that we might have that opportunity for eternal life in heaven with you because of his death, burial, and resurrection, that he overcame death. We thank you so much, Father, for the love that we have for him and the love that you had for us in sending him to us, that we might have that example, we might pattern our lives after him, Father, and trying to be more Christ-like each day. Father, we bless us. We ask you to bless us this morning as we take this Lord's Supper and help thinking about Jesus. We ask all these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll bow with us again. Heavenly Father, in like manner, we ask your blessing on this cup. We thank you for it, and we thank you for Jesus' death on the cross. We thank you for his blood that covers our sins, his blood that he freely gave on that cross. We just sang about him dying on the cross, a humiliating death, Father. Yeah, he could have stopped it at any time, but the love that he had for us, he went through with this. And we pray that you'll help us to always appreciate, never take for granted the love that he had for us, that he gave himself for us. Father, we pray as we unite this morning as a group of Christians that you look down upon us with favor and find that all that we do here in accordance with your will. We thank you so much for your love, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes the Lord's Supper. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we also have an obligation to give back to the Lord as we have prospered. So, would you bow with me now as we offer thanks? Father, we're so blessed and thankful that you look after all of our material blessings, and we thank you for the health that you give us so that we can go out to earn a living, Father, and of our own choosing, we can have an occupation, Father, that we can go out to work, and we thank you for all that, Father. But most of all, Father, we thank you for blessing us as you have and allowing us to be good stewards of the monies that you bless us with, that we might give back to you, Father, what we prospered in our heart. We pray that everything that is given today will be collectively used to spread your gospel, Father. There's so much good that can be done out in the community, Father, those people that are a lost and dying world, and we can spread the word through good utilization of these funds. We thank you so much for blessing us as you have, and we ask this now in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen. This would be a good time to go ahead and mark number 587. If you haven't already done so, 587. It'll be a song that we will lead and sing after Brett's lesson. It's good to see him and his family here this morning with us. And before his lesson, we'll sing number 929. 929. Glorify your name. We glorify his name not only in song, but in what we do. As Tim had talked about and read from Romans chapter 6, further on then it says, what then, verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And so we glorify his name in our actions and how we live. We'll sing all three verses. Please stand if you're willing and able as we sing this song together.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you.
Sermons that a short sermon is always good and a long sermon better be good. You know, and throughout the years I've had several people hint to me in various ways for a short sermon, you know, the lunch is already in the oven and things like that. This morning Tim told me that you guys rent this by the hour. So, I got it. If you want to turn into Colossians chapter 3, you know, thinking about the music, you know, what a huge part music is in our lives. You know, we get in the car, we turn on the radio, we exercise, and we have the iPod on, we watch TV, and then there's music to these TV shows or these movies that, you know, make it more emotional or more impactful. You know, we have our schools and our athletics, we have a school song, we have a national anthem, a baby's crying, you cry them, you sleep, you know, you sing them to calmness. You watch American Idol and you vote for your favorite person. Music is a big part of our lives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we see here a verse, and it will be very familiar to I know many people here. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." You know, as we look through that, there's a lot of things in here. We're supposed to sing with grace in our hearts. If you look that word up in Thayer's, it'll say that which affords joy or pleasure or delight. You know, when we sing, there should be some emotion tied to that. There should be some expression on our faces when we sing. You know, I'm up here, when I preach, I can see faces. And I'm sure song leaders, when they sing, they can see the faces. I hope mine doesn't look too awful when I sing. But we should have some kind of emotion on our faces when we're singing these songs. And we also see in this passage here, we see purpose of singing. We see teaching. You know, I think when I was a kid, on Saturday mornings, of course, we didn't have Cartoon Network, so you just watch cartoons on Saturday mornings, and you had all these songs that were educational, grammar rock, you know, teaching you about grammar, and then you had I remember one that about how a bill becomes a law, and some of those things. I see the heads, y'all. We learned in song. And we're to admonish. If you look at that word, it means to put into mind something. We often think of warn, but it's really to stick into our mind. And don't songs do that? We've all had that time where we've had that song that's stuck in our head that we just can't get out, whether good or bad. It's just there. Songs do that for us. They dwell in our hearts. Well, there's a book that was out several years ago. All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. You know, and it talks about those simple things that we need to know about sharing and kindness and you know, paying attention and things like that we learn early on in our lives. And I'm thinking, when I think about music, and sometimes I'll actually sing a song and I'll want in my mind, like, what'd that mean? What's that talking about? And I'll have to look it up. I have to study it, you know. When we sing something, we have to remember we're saying it. We need to know what we're singing. But I think of these children's songs. What we think of as children's songs. And the many valuable, simple lessons that we learn. You know, sometimes I think we try to make things too complicated. You know, I remember a math class I took in college, and I went there, and it was supposed to be a review at the beginning, and then we were going to get in something deeper. A few weeks in there, that teacher had me so confused, I didn't know the stuff I knew before I got in there. You know, sometimes we make that simple things complicated. I like these children's songs. They make things simple. And that's the way they should be. We have simple lessons here. And what I'd like to look at this morning, then, are a few of these children's songs, then, and just see the simple lessons that are contained in them. And the first one is one that we sang this morning, which is great. Jesus Loves Me. Probably the best known of all children's songs. Jesus Loves Me. Written by Ann Warner, if you look in your books, in 1860, and then the music was added to it 2 years later. But anyway, she was asked to write this for her sister, for a child that she had in a Bible class that had a terminally ill condition, to kind of cheer things up a little bit. So she wrote this little poem here. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What greater message is there than that? You know, we want to be part of Christ's kingdom. What greater message of knowing that Jesus loves us? Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. You know, it's the depth of this love. It's the magnitude of this love. I think sometimes we forget. And we get caught up in doing the correct acts of worship and doing all the right things. And it's a simple thing. It's this love of Christ that we often forget. But let's look in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, though through whom we have now received the reconciliation. If we look at this love here of Christ, it isn't contingent upon our goodness, is it? You know, in fact, it's in spite of the fact that we aren't that good. It says when we were enemies, he died. It doesn't matter if we think that we're deserving or not. We don't have to earn that love. If we look at just a couple chapters later in chapter 8, a great question here is posed in chapter 8 and in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And look at the answer here, beginning in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's nothing that anybody can do. There's nothing that anybody can say. There's no rumors out there, nothing, no way that people can turn against us that's going to separate us from that love of Christ. I think that's very, very powerful. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you want to, we'll turn to Galatians chapter 3. Another song that is out there, Jesus loves the little children. You know what? I think of Jesus, he was criticized, wasn't he, many times for associating with the wrong people, for healing the wrong kinds of people, for talking to the wrong people. His disciples were criticized for the same kind of things. You know, prejudice has been around forever. You know, but it's a learned behavior. You know, kids, when they see another little kid, they just see a little kid. It's when we get older that we see, look at that Asian kid, you know, look at this white kid. That's something we've learned later. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. The Lord puts us all together here. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Yep. God, he doesn't see skin color. He doesn't see gender. He doesn't see socioeconomic status. He doesn't see nationality. There's no partiality there. I don't know if any of you have ever read any of Ken Ham's materials. Writes a lot on Genesis and things. But he points out that he says that the DNA of any two people in the world would typically differ by just 0.2% or 0.2%. That's the genetic difference between any two people in the world. 0.2%. You know, we've kind of taken things like skin color and hair color and shape of eyes and said, well, these are races, you know. But we could have done that with other things. We could have classified people with red hair and freckles as a race. We could have done that. We could have classified people with blonde hair and blue eyes as a race. And we just took different things people did throughout time and called that a race. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. That's what the lyrics of this song teach us. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Another song that we sing as you turn to Matthew chapter 5. Brother David alluded to this scripture in his prayer. Matthew chapter 5. We live where our house is. We've got a 48-acre field behind our house. And all of our kids, from Nicole on down to Eli, you know, as they were kids, have enjoyed one point in time or another chasing lightning bugs. And I admit it's kind of fun, too. I kind of like it. But it's interesting that you can have 48 acres of black, of darkness, and you can see this little bitty bug out there in the middle. This little bitty thing is about this big and can light up, and you can see him all the way across the field. On a little bitty light, how much it shows up. Well, that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." It's hard to say that without starting to sing it, isn't it? I will refuse to do that. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to let it shine. The song goes on and talks about, you know, shine all over your town. We're going to let it shine till Jesus comes. Well, that's a principle that's being taught here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, beginning verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. These are simple words. What do they mean? People may see our good works. We live this good life. We live like a Christian should live. We're honest. We pray in public. We show respect. We work hard. We do all these things that are in the Scriptures. And I think of that little lightning bug that's so easy to be seen in that vast darkness. You know, those little things that we do can be seen in this darkness of the world that we live in. And then isn't it cool whenever you start seeing a whole bunch of these lightning bugs? And isn't that wonderful when there's many of us lightning out there? That's what that song's telling us to do. It reminds us that the world is watching us. Go ahead and go up to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. My God is so big. You all think, you know, we read in the Bible, we remember these stories, but, you know, we didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. We didn't see, you know, the plagues in Egypt. We didn't hear this donkey talking. We didn't get to see all these things. And I think sometimes we forget how big and how great God is. But, you know, we're not alone. You know, they did that. We read the people like that in the Scriptures. Remember whenever the Lord told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child. Remember Sarah's response? Ha! Yeah, right. She laughed. That's what it says. She laughed. And then we read in Genesis 18, where the question is posed to her in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, he can do that. Or when Mary was told that she was going to have a child, and she knew she had never been with a man before, the angel reminded her in Luke chapter 1, for with God, nothing will be impossible. In Matthew chapter 19. Beginning in verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Think about this, the lyrics to this little simple children's song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His. The valleys are His. The sky is handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. We read these words here of Christ about living for Him and getting to heaven. These words are important. When God tells us, you can resist temptation, we're saying, no, it is so hard. I have a problem with that. That is hard for me. You don't understand. When God tells us that we have a responsibility to tell others about Him, and we're saying, oh, but I'm not good with that kind of thing. I'm not good at talking to people. That's not my thing. I can't do that. When God commands all these things that we need to do, and you say, oh, but I'm so busy, you just don't understand. I can't do that. You know, a song like this is a reminder that there's no hill too big for us to climb. And that with every command that God gives us, He gives us the strength to fulfill that command. My God is so big. Let's go back in Matthew chapter 7. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. We've all seen at least pictures of that. I've never seen it myself. Well, we all know how that thing is. Big tall tower leaning over. You know, several years back, you know, they started doing some calculations on this 880-foot tower, saying, you know what, this thing is gradually going over at 1/20th of an inch a year. In a few years, it's going to reach that point where it's just going to collapse, and we're going to have to do something about that. And their estimation was somewhere around 2007, that thing was just going to fall over. So they went this restoration, this work on it from about 1990 to 2001. And they kind of straightened it up just a little bit. It was leaning a little bit more than it is now. But you know, as they analyzed that, they analyzed, you know, the architect really had a blueprint for disaster with that thing. You know, not only do you have this 180-foot tower with just a 10-foot foundation, but then when you couple that with the thought that Pisa means marshy land, that thing probably wasn't going to make it. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I don't know if you've ever stood on a beach before with on the sand and the water's coming in. But it's kind of cool if you just stand there and you don't move, because eventually, sooner or later, that water's going to come and it's just going to disappear from underneath you. That's the illustration that he's giving here. If we hear his words and we're not doing them, we're not living by them, it's just all going to wash out from underneath us and we're going to fall flat. But if we hear these words, it's easy to hear them. And then we do them, we're going to be this wise man who built his house on a rock. Another great citizen. The world split, pulling us in all different directions. This simple song just kind of draws us back to what's important. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Very, very simple, very direct passage here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God, I think of how we become so desensitized to things. How as time goes, things don't bother us anymore. You know, you read about when they started public swimming again, reincarnated that, if you would, into the 18th century. And you read a lot like what the women wore, these long wool dresses, complete with shoes, stockings, and hats. Now compare that to what we see today. That didn't happen overnight. It's kind of a gradual kind of thing. 1956, Elvis Presley was going to sing on the Ed Sullivan Show. I've always heard that they didn't show him from the waist down, but actually they did, if you watch it. I don't know where, I guess that's lore or something, you know, but because they actually did. But that was apparently a big deal. The way that Elvis danced and things, that was too vulgar to be shown on television. Now, I remember when MTV came out. And it was actually music put to video. That's about all it was. And now what it has become. Well, these things happen gradually. And we watch it, and we watch it, and we become desensitized, and it doesn't bother us anymore. This song warns us against that kind of thing. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Now, it's teaching the simple truth that we cannot watch or listen to vulgar things and not be affected. We cannot be around all the wrong people and it not have an impact on us. Just a reminder that we need to be careful of what we surround ourselves with. I've got so many little songs in here we could talk about. But since I'm doing this by the hour. But these simple songs, there's many times I wish that we sang more of them, really, as adults, you know, because they are so good. Such simple things. But let's think about this when we get ready to sing here in just a moment. If you would, what song are we? 587, is that it? Go ahead and turn to 587. Well, these songs just aren't for kids, but turn to one more passage. Read it before we can turn to the Psalms. Psalm 66. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. with our singing, as we look here, we're supposed to honor the Lord. We're supposed to proclaim, say how great, how awesome He is. A couple times it uses this word praise, which means to place a value on something. We're supposed to show how much we value God through our songs, through our voices. Make a joyful shout. A couple things that emphasizes. One is our heart, joyful. And shout. Noise. All that's talking about is volume. That's what that word's talking about. We need to sing with the right heart, and we need to put some volume behind it. As we're singing this song, if there's any changes that you see that you need to make in your life, any prayers that you'd like from the brethren, please, please come forward as we stand and sing. 580.
Soul of Savior, thou art needing. Soul of Savior, waits for thee. Hear His words of tender pleading. Hear His gracious come to me. He is calling, softly calling. All I hear, His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. So He waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling. On thy ear His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. Do not linger till the morrow. Let thy love the answer be. Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling. On thy ear, His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest.
I guess this would be a good time to say that my children helped me pick out the songs this morning, if you weren't able to tell. So that went very, very well with that. I appreciate Brett and again his family coming our way this morning and being with us and worshiping with us. And it's great to see them again. We wish them all the best and continued success in the work that they're a part of there in Illinois. Also want to remember thinking about work is the radio program this afternoon. So hopefully I have an opportunity to be able to listen to that. And so myself and Curtis will be on that this afternoon. We welcome you back then this afternoon to be with us at the weird time of 4 o'clock. And that was a great discussion, I thought, this afternoon. Want to remember Tim and his lovely wife as they will be traveling starting tomorrow, I believe. All right. Wednesday, Tim, tomorrow. Today. Sometime. But they'll be gone for 2 weeks. So we want to continue to remember that.
And just want to make one other announcement. On Wednesday night, you know, Chuck told everybody that we had, you know, sent out the
the announcement to some brethren for the fundraising, sort of the opportunity to raise funds for the new building, and encourage everyone to contact anyone also that you knew as well. Just want you to know by Friday we had $17,000, so we got a start. So we'll ask you to continue to pray for that effort, and to also contact anyone that you know that might be in a financial position to want to help us with the promissory note. But we'll keep you advised, each week of where we are on that, so we kind of don't lose sight of where we are in that endeavor. So thanks a lot for your prayers and your help in this endeavor.
Brother Tony, can you lead us in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're deep thankful for this Lord's Day morning, come together, be with fellow Christians, to open another portion of the study from Thy Word. We're thankful for the opportunity each and every one of us have, giving us another day upon your earth. Father, we're thankful for the lesson we've had this morning. Thankful for Brother Brett for taking the time to come here and to spread Thy Word here at this place. We pray for the work that is being done here at River Ridge. We pray that much good will come from it. We pray for our radio program, the lessons that are being taught. We pray that you be with the elders and the deacons and decisions that are being made for the building, that much good will come from it, and that we will have a permanent place to worship you very soon. We ask that you be with those that are in number that have been mentioned that are sick and are on the road to travel. We pray that you will watch over them and that you will return them back to prison at the next point in time. Go with us now throughout this day. We pray that we will always look to you in our daily struggles in life, and that we will always realize the importance of you. Help us be Christians. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.